The volume that lies before St. Jerome, and which he is translating, is, of course, the Bible. And together with the figure of St. Jerome himself, as he leans over it with slightly knitted brows, it naturally constitutes the center of interest of paintings of St. Jerome in his study of every type. As depicted by the artists of the Italian Renaissance, it is no mere pocket volume, but an enormous folio of practically the same dimensions as the desk on which, or against which, it rests. Sometimes it is closed, as though St. Jerome was on the point of opening it and beginning his day's work, or even as though he would never be able to open it, and that it was, in fact, impossible to translate. Much more usually, however, it lies wide open, and we can see on either page the double columns of black text, enclosed, more often than not, within a colourful border of interlacing foliage, flowers and fruit, from which peep out strange figures of animals and men. We can see the illuminated capital letters, some of them of burnished gold. We can see the figures of prophets, saints and angels. In short, from the size of the volume and the extent to which it has been decorated, we can see its importance. What you love, you adorn, a very wise friend of mine once said to me many years ago. He was referring to my literary style, which some of my austerer friends considered much too flowery. And the fact that the artists of the Italian Renaissance adorned the volume that lies on St. Jerome's desk shows that they loved it. But what did they love? Technically, of course, the volume is the Christian Bible, beginning with the book of Genesis and ending with the revelation of St. John the Divine. For it is the Christian Bible that St. Jerome is translating. But the word Bible, from Byblos, the city where the papyrus used by the Greeks for the manufacture of books came from, means book. So that the Bible simply means the book. What the artists of the Italian Renaissance depicted, what they loved and adorned, was therefore not so much the traditional Christian Bible as the Bible in a more universal sense. The volume that lies on St. Jerome's desk is in reality the book par excellence. It is the archetypal book. But what is a book? The answer to this question can be found, at least by implication, in an image or symbol with which you are all familiar. The image of the wheel of life, particularly as depicted in Tibetan Buddhist art. The wheel of life consists of four concentric circles, the third of which, reckoning from the hub outwards, is divided into five or six segments, one for each of the five or six principal classes of sentient beings. In each segment there appears a Buddha of a certain colour, who bears in his hands an object that is of special significance to the beings of that class or world. The Buddha who appears among the animals, or in the animal world, is light blue in colour and bears in his hands a book. This book is not a Western-style volume, but one of the Indo-Tibetan type. That is to say, it consists of a stack of loose oblong sheets held between two wooden boards of roughly the same dimensions. Sometimes the sheets are connected by strings passed through holes punched at either end, 2 or 3 inches from the edge. These details are not visible in actual paintings of the Wheel of Life, but the object the light blue Buddha bears in his hands is clearly a book of the Indo-Tibetan type just described.
And he is clearly offering it to the different kinds of animals by whom he is surrounded. The book symbolizes knowledge, both sacred and profane, for it is knowledge that distinguishes man from the animals, so that if animals want to become human beings, they must acquire knowledge. Hereby animals is meant not only animals in the literal sense, but also those animal-like human beings whose interests are confined to food, sex, and sleep, and who are devoid of knowledge in the sense of having no consciousness other than that of the sense objects that confront them in the present moment. The reason why it is the book that symbolizes knowledge rather than any other object is that it is by means of the book, which is essentially a device for the preservation and transmission of information, that we are enabled to extend our consciousness far beyond the limits imposed by our own individual experience. By means of the book, we are enabled to transcend time and space and to communicate with human beings living in other ages and other climes, many of whom are far more highly developed than we are. We are enabled to enter into their experiences and to share their knowledge. Thus, the book is the golden key to the treasury of human culture. The book makes us more truly human. Hence, it is not surprising that the object which the light blue Buddha offers to the animals should be a book, as representing the means by which they will rise to the human level and enter the human world. Similarly, it is not surprising that the mighty volume that lies on St. Jerome's desk should be not so much the traditional Christian Bible as the Bible in a more universal sense, and not so the artists of the Italian Renaissance, when depicting St. Jerome in his study, should have adorned it to the best of their ability.